Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adrian, here with the main host, a man who the dinosaurs looked at wrong.
Nice.
Once.
I'm Ramon.
Yeah, you are. Today, we start a new series titled...
Hunger.
That's right. Our episode today, episode one, is titled Starving. Hence the growling stomach sound effect at the beginning, in case you couldn't identify it. Our scripture today comes from...
the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
Appropriately so, this was...
delicious.
The temptation is there to start talking about that infinite void that's in our hearts and how we hunger and thirst for righteousness. So, let's do it. Now, starting this off, you know, it's a season of Lent. Our podcast released on Ash Wednesday, and we didn't mention anything about Lent because that podcast was recorded, like, way before.
Yeah.
So we're on a schedule. But yeah, it's appropriate that we have this this series during the season of Lent because we're all hungry, you know. And if you're not hungry, that means you're not fasting. And if you're not fasting, you're not listening to Jesus. You know, a lot of people take the emphasis off of on sacrifice, and the emphasis gets put on giving, you know, almsgiving. Like, if you're not giving alms, then you are not living the gospel. And that's true. But I think in our society, we substitute real spiritual substance with works of charity. And that's basically just works of social justice instead of true change within the hearts of the faithful. You know, and there's plenty of people that are so willing to push that on us. So many people that take something good and then go overboard with it. You know, and then there's so much, I mean, at least in my experience, just here living in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, there's so much emphasis on social justice that everything else gets lost. Anyway, and you can believe in so many things that are not taught by the church, especially when it comes to gay rights or transgender rights or anything like that. That's the big hot issue right now. You know, that if you don't accept the acts of people that are putting themselves in danger of losing their salvation, then you don't truly love, and you're not truly living out the gospel. You know, completely ignoring all the dangers that come with that, and ignoring the fact that we're not being people's true friends if you're not supporting them in the acting out of their desires.
Desires, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Just the other day, I was talking to James. I haven't brought him up in a while, but he's still around, man. He's still there. And I made him something to eat, and he loved the way that I set up his plate. And he's like, oh, thank you. He's like, yeah, no problem, man. And then he started eating, and then he had kind of a lot because he's a little five-year-old. And then he went to the fridge, and he was going to get something else. And I said, hey, that's kind of a lot already. I mean, if you're hungry, you can get it, but if you're just eating because, then don't. And then he got a little upset, and then he ran to the couch, and then he just laid there. I was like, no, man, come on, get up. Don't do that. He's like, no, I'm not your friend. He's like, it doesn't matter if you're my friend or not. I'm not supposed to be your friend necessarily. I'm supposed to tell you what's right and what's not right so that you can become a better man. Because you're a strong boy, and I'm not going to go into the whole spiel, but just that's essentially what I told him. Then I further explained to him, I said, look, you're a strong young man, so you sit up and you listen. And he did eventually. And I told him, look, yeah, being hungry is part of it. You know, just eat until you're satisfied. If you eat more than that, that's something that we call gluttony. And I know he didn't comprehend that, but I told him, you're going to get weak if you overdo this. And that goes for all of us, and not just necessarily with food, although that is kind of a problem with some people. You know, we're just overindulging instead of just taking what we need. And it's just crazy how you're bringing up like the social justice aspect of that, where we just want to give and give and then force others to give instead of being the example, you know, instead of setting that example. But everybody's more concerned about social justice than actually being a good Christian, than being a true Catholic. Because God never took anything from anybody to give it to somebody else.
And I think to call what we, you know, I'm speaking as in society, you know, what we do social justice is doing justice a disservice, because justice means that you give to each their due, mm-hmm. not to each what they want. You know, I use the analogy of a kid wanting to eat sand. They can kick and scream all they want, but you're not being a good parent if you let them eat sand. It sounds simple enough, right? But then we bring out like people's feelings, their desires, their wants, their need for acceptance. And we twist that into just allowing them to do things that are self-destructive. You know, when we overeat, it's not that we're really like hungry for food, for sustenance. It's not that we're eating to live, but we're living to eat. And it's not really that we desire to live so that we can eat. But it's that we're trying to fill a void. And it's so spiritual, you know. It's such a spiritual thing to either overeat or have sex or outside of marriage or whatever it is. We're trying to fill a void. We're trying to repair some damage with the same hammer that destroyed that part of us to begin with. You know, and it's a common thing that we see, that we try to satisfy our hunger and thirst for righteousness with things that are destructive, with the same things that made us hungry to begin with the same things that left us lacking to begin with. And so many relationships, so many marriages, so many groups have been destroyed because of this. You know, and it's when we place our hunger and our thirst on those things that are not righteous that we end up committing suicide in a way. That we end up destroying ourselves with something that's not necessarily bad. It could be something good, you know, because food is good. But if you overindulge, the extra fluff happens. Exercise is good too, but if you overdo it, you're going to hurt yourself.
And it's going to take time from the stuff that you need to do. I can't remember where I heard this, but they didn't use the word balance necessarily, but there has to be some sort of balance within you, because if you're overdoing something, you're going to neglect something else that is truly important. You know, you were talking about food, mm-hmm. and, you know, if you overeat and then are lazy, you know, you neglect your exercise and you're going to get big and unhealthy. And I'm not saying being big is unhealthy, so I'm leaving room for a lot of people trying to find a flaw in what I'm saying, but just truly listen to what I'm saying.
That's okay. We're not concerned about that. I mean, the people who are going to get offended are going to get offended, no matter what you say. Like, they'll look for a way to be offended.
Yeah, you know.
I have a few extra pounds. I know where I stand.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, let's not lie to ourselves. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, and if you over-exercise, then you're going to, like I said, you know, when I started my little rant right now, you're going to neglect your other duties, your more important duties.
Yeah.
You know, if I just exercised and not paid attention to, you know, work or James or recording the podcast, you know, if I would have told you, hey, Adrian, you know what? I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to go do 1,000 pull-ups and, you know, we'll record when we record. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some...
intentionality. I guess,
there you go. Intentionality instead of balance. There you go. Intentionality about it. Jeez, man, I lost my train of thought again.
No, it's good, man. I'm gonna pick up. I'm gonna steal that thunder. Momentum. Yeah, no, because, dude, like you're saying so much stuff that Bear was talking about in the last podcast. And by the way, oh man, and I did mention that we're gonna talk a little bit about all the stuff that's been happening. You know, some has been gotten. It's been happening, man. Like we've been going through it. I posted an image that had the strut of the van, of the family van, kind of messed up. It was an interesting situation. And I'm going to connect it to hunger in a sec, but just bear with me. On Monday, the van just that stopped working. I guess my wife was backing out of the driveway. The strut gave out, and that's it. Her sister was visiting, so her car was inside the driveway while the van, the massive van, was blocking the driveway. The rear end of it was sticking out to the street, and it was time to go pick up the kids. She called me. I left work. People covered for me, and I wasn't going to get to my kids' school until 15 minutes after they said, this is the cutoff time. And so we found a way, you know. She called an Uber. The Uber didn't speak English, so it was just one thing after another. You know, and at that point, like, we're just trying to get through life, man. Like, we're just trying to get through things. But when you're trying to do your best, that's when the devil starts rearing its ugly head. You know, and it's just another unforeseen adventure, another opportunity for God to shine through and for us to stay faithful and not start whining because we don't have enough to eat, because we don't have what we want, or even what we need. Because you were saying something when we were having a conversation in there that I'm not going to let you not say in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, that we have a heavenly father,
not a sugar daddy. And there's a difference, and it seems like that's how we look at God at times, that, oh, I need this, or, you know, I think I need this, so I'm going to ask God for it. You know, I'm not going to give a whole explanation, but there have been certain things in my life, and as of recently, where I feel like that's going to be my calling, and I've prayed about it, and it doesn't happen. And I'm not gonna say that I was bratty, because I wasn't. I was just putting it out there to God and say, this is where I think it's where I need to go. This is where I feel like I'm you know, to bring it back to the theme, where this is where my hunger is.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows better. God knows better. God knows what I need to be fed. Again, it's our Heavenly Father, not our sugar daddy. And your soul ain't that cute, man. My soul ain't that cute. My soul ain't that cute, you know? And God doesn't love you because you're cute or not. It's just, it. God will love you according to your needs. God will pay, and I don't want to be in heresy here, but God will pay the attention necessary so that your soul doesn't drown and so that it thrives. You're supposed to go through, you know, certain hungers, certain heartbreaks. That way, oh man, I can't remember who said this, but God is supposed to break, you know, God breaks your heart sometimes, because sometimes that's the only way to get in.
Oh, that's Archbishop Fulton Sheen
there, you go,
right?
That's
there.
That's who it is, yeah.
Sometimes the good Lord has to break our hearts because that's the only way he can get through.
That's the only way to nourish our souls, because sometimes life is going amazing and you know, worldly terms,
but maybe our lazy.
Yeah, but maybe our soul is not doing so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you told me this too sometime in the past, where people are like, oh man, I'm starving. Like, no, you're not starving.
You're just having hungry. A craving.
Yeah, you're having a craving. You're hungry. Maybe, just maybe, you haven't eaten in 5 hours. That doesn't mean you're starving.
Yeah.
That means you're hungry. And that's okay. Sometimes you need to experience your stomach growling in order to truly be satisfied by something that's meant to satisfy you. Because so often, you know, we're in a world full of comforts. We really are. And if we want sugar, we have it readily available. If we want salt, it's readily available. It's something that we as a species have not been used to until the last, 50, 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't been used to this kind of luxury, and so we're genetically disposed to not eat so much of this stuff. Yet we have it available, and it's cheap. And that's what happens to our faith life whenever we're getting everything that we want, or whenever we're satisfied, or, you know, it just results in a faith of meh.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're just like, meh. We have the internet. We have the Lectio Divina available to us. We have the Liturgy of the Hours available to us. We have the scriptures available to us. There was a time in history in which people didn't have a Bible ready and just available for them to use. And so when they first got one, they Man, I saw this video on Instagram of this little girl that was crying because she got a VeggieTales Bible or something like that. It was adorable though, because like she was getting a Bible as a gift and she was crying. I'm like, man, when has my soul been that grateful for having something? And the thing is, like, recently, like I've shared about the consecration, like I won't shut up about it. But at first, like, my soul was on this spiritual high, and right now it's getting some. You know, right now it's getting after it and trying to stay afloat and not lose hope, because I've been through it too many times to lose hope now. I've been through it too many times to be like, oh man, like all this lost, like screw this churchy stuff. Like, no. We can't do that. Sometimes God allows that hunger so that we may remember why we're doing this to begin with.
And sometimes it hurts so good, man, because...
Yeah, it does.
And I mean that both in a super awesome way and in a like, dang, this hurts. But
yeah,
that's when you see, you know, who truly is in your corner. And that's when the opportunity for you to see how much God loves you presents itself. Because even if nobody pulls you out of the hole, there's no other way to go but, you know, dig yourself out.
Yeah.
And God has plenty of big shovels. All you got to do is ask.
Yep. I mean, what happened when the situation happened is, I was just like, you know what? I'm getting upset. I'm throwing a tantrum. I just took a picture of the stuff. I text my brothers. And I say, hey, guys, help. That's all it took.
You know what was awesome? When Miguel said, whatever you need.
Yeah.
You got it. I didn't reply, but then I think I text you, right?
Yeah.
And then I pretty much told you the same thing. And I didn't do it in the group chat. It was just us two.
Yeah.
It's like, boom. So you had those two options.
Yeah, like, before anything, like, it's already handled, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are, if we just stop and stop being sorry for ourselves and stop getting mad at the situation and getting ready to punch a wall or something, if we just stop and actually pay attention to who and what we have around us, things are going to be solved just like that. And if they're not, then we need to look and we need to work. And if it doesn't get resolved, then there's a good reason for that. No, just because we're saying that social justice is not the end doesn't mean that we're free from doing it, that we don't have an obligation to give. We definitely have an obligation to give. But one of my favorite quotes by C.S. Lewis is that if I love God more than I love I can't remember the exact quote, but my dearest, you know, the person that I hold dearest to my heart, if I love God more than I love them, I shall love them even better. I shall love them even more.
That makes sense.
And so if we put God first, we're going to love those around us better. If we don't make the love of those around us the end of our life, because it does say in Scripture that we're supposed to help them, but if we put that first before God, then we're going to be lost. We're going to get lost. We're not going to be able to satisfy their hunger or our own hunger. You know, Jesus said, you will always have the poor. We'll always have them. They're always going to be there. So I don't think we're going to be able to abolish poverty. But we can abolish poverty in our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal right there. To love God and love others.
You know what's interesting too? When somebody tries to get political or religious, and then especially when it's the religious aspect of it.
When religious politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I hate how the Vatican has, you know, these walls made out of gold and all this stuff. But then if they sold everything, they would be able to feed everybody. And then I ask
sure
people,
thing, Judas.
And then I ask people how, to explain how that would happen. And nobody can. I've had maybe like three people tell me that. And then I've countered with that. the initial counter, because there's all they always have something smart to say. But then I also bring up the fact that the Catholic Church, and this is factual, is and if you want to call it an organization, but is the most charitable organization ever. Back in the 80s and with the AIDS crisis, when people were dying, when the gay community, you know, like how people think we're against the gays or whatever, it's a bunch of garbage. Because everybody looked at the gay community as if they had leprosy. But the Catholic Church said, you're welcome over here. We're going to help you get through this. The Catholic Church is the most charitable body in the world. And that is fact. And if I'm going to get up on my high horse, that's how I shut their mouth to all the naysayers.
Yeah, buddy.
But since it's not, I don't want to be on the high horse here.
I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah. That's a good way to feed that curiosity because it's so misguided.
Mm-hmm.
So lucky to be Catholic, man.
And if there's any doubt, there is no safer place, no matter what my sin is, no matter what my temptations, no matter what my attractions, no matter what poverty, and no matter what my hunger is, there is no safer place than the church that Christ himself established. And I'm not talking about the leadership. You know that for a fact. I'm a bit jaded about our leadership. But I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about those who are truly devoted to God and are doing his will. There is no safer place than the church for all of us.
So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferro.
Ferro.
Aquitu.
With the main host, a man.
Thank you.
No problem. Why are we like this?
Why are we like this?